If you could turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29 for me. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And we'll be starting with verse 14. You know, this a couple of weeks ago, I was in Mobile, Alabama, 80 degrees. Then I was in Atlanta, near 80. Then I flew to L.A., 75 and sunny skies. Then I flew back up to Boston, 5 in the morning, 15 degrees. I was like, what is going on here? So Pastor John being away during this time, I was like, man, he picked a good weekend to be away. You know, it is 16 degrees outside. I thank him for this opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 14, if you don't have a Bible with you, you make it get on your phone. But could you stand with me if you can for the reading of God's word? I'm reading from the New American Standard. And it says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you, and tenants as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord, our God, all this is bondage that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name. It is from your hand, and all is yours. Since I know, O my God, that you try their heart and delight in uprightness, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here make their offering willingly to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, all fathers, reserve this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people and direct their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word is true. Now we just pray, Heavenly Father, that in these moments that you will put me behind the cross and you come forth and speak to us. Share with us what you want to communicate this morning. We just thank you for your grace and for your favor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many of you know that I move up. That I just got started. No, just... many of you know that I lived in Newport before, you know, about 20 years ago. So this is actually my second stint when I moved up here this past August. At the time, I was in the military, and I used to visit this local church where I eventually became a member. I eventually joined. And I remember when I joined, the pastor invited me and another person, a young lady who was a new member, to have lunch at his house. We had a great lunch, and then after lunch, he pulled me to the side, took me to the living room, and he said to me with tears in his eyes, very emotional, very intense time, he said, "God has called me to be a king maker and not a king. God has called me to be a king maker and not a king." And I knew exactly what he meant at that time. He was saying to me that he was willing to invest all of his efforts and all of his time into me to help me to fulfill the calling of my life. Now, when I say calling, I'm not necessarily saying ministry, pastoral ministry, but whatever God's divine will was for me, he said he wanted to be a part of that and help me to develop that and fulfill it. You know, when we're talking about will and we're talking about ministry, it does not have to be vocational ministry. This relationship I'm referring to could be father-son, mother-daughter, coach-player, or teacher-student. And the relationship I'm referring to is actually what's transpiring here at 1 Chronicles 29. But in this particular case, it's king to king. King David is using all his efforts and all of his time to invest in his son, to help his son, Solomon, to fulfill the will for his life, the divine will. Now, like this section of scripture that here in verse 29 is actually a prayer. David, a man after God's own heart, has given us an opportunity to peek behind the eyes of David and see his thinking through this prayer. And there are six principles that I want to glean from this. Now, most of you already know the story. King David, the second king of Israel, a man of war, killed Goliath. You know, he wanted to build his temple for God, but he wasn't allowed to because he was a man of war. So it was given to his son Solomon to fulfill that will, that mission, that plan to build the temple. So I want to share with you like six principles really quick in regards to what it means to be an effective kingmaker, or how to become an effective kingmaker. Let's look at verse 14. The first principle I want to note is that the kingmaker recognizes that it's a privilege to be involved in the will of God. That it's a privilege to be involved in the will of God. It says in verse 14, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and tenants as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope." The first principle I want to point out here, that it is a privilege to be involved in the plan of God, to be a kingmaker. Consider this. David says, we're here for a shadow of a moment, but God has this huge overarching plan. You have Adam and Eve, to King David, to the incarnation of Christ, to the church age which we're a part of, all the way to the second coming. You have like this long period of time, and God turns to you and say, "I have a role for you to play." That is a privilege. You know, you have all the prophets, you have the apostles, and you have other great men and women of faith, and God turns to you and say, "I have a role for you to play in this overarching plan." And my friends, beloved, that is a privilege. So the first point I want to make in terms of these principles is that it's a privilege to be involved in the role of God. Number two, God is the source. God is the source. Look at verse 16. It says, "O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build your house for your holy name is from your hand and all is yours." God is the source. God, it is his plan. He's the source that provides all the resources. One of the things my former pastor told me, that mentored me, it's the best advice I've received in my life. He said, "Always remember that this thing is not about you. That this thing is not about you." And once you get to that place where you recognize this thing is not about you, it can alleviate a lot of stress and a lot of pride. when you realize this thing is not about you, but it's about God. It will help you keep even keel. Because when you do ministry, that's a tendency to kind of do it in your own strength, in your own power. But when we release it and have the perspective that it's not about us, but it's about God, it alleviates a lot of stress. This is New England, so I want to share one of my favorite poems by Robert Frost. It's called Choose Something Like a Star. He says this. He says, it asks very, very little of us here. It asks of us a certain height. So when at time the mob is swayed, when we carry praise or blame too far, we should choose something like a star to stay our mind on and to be stayed. We should choose something like a star to stay our mind on and to be stayed. But we're not humanists, right? We're Christians, right? So we should choose someone like Christ to stay our mind on and to be stayed. And once we do that, we gotta kick back and relax. That would help us keep, that would keep us from going thinking too much of ourselves or too little, because it's not about us, but it's about Christ. Number three is about the kingdom. It's about the kingdom. Look at verse 17. Since I know, oh my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with joy I have seen your people who are present here make their offerings willingly to you. It is about the kingdom. David says, since I know, oh my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness. My pastor, my mentor, he said to me once, he said, I don't care if you ever mention my name whenever you fulfill the calling of God in your life. You know, the key maker is okay with being in the background, because it's not about them. It's about the kingdom. They're okay if their names are never in the lights, right? That's effective. That's a key principle to king making. And we know that's true because what David says in the second portion of this verse, he says, it's with great joy I see others bring their offerings. When it's about the kingdom, you're okay if the church down the street is bigger or doing a more effective job, or if someone sings better than you, or if someone preaches better than you. Because it's about the kingdom, and it's not about you, right? So not only is it important to remember that it's a privilege that God is our source, and it's about the kingdom, but it's also remembering to point the king to the true king. The king or the queen that you're developing, is always important to point them to the true king. Look at verse 18. It says, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, all fathers preserve this forever in the intentions of the heart of your God and direct their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision. He said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Don't get me wrong, you know, like, there are people that are not Christians that do things to help our society, right? Our community. But it's much better if not just a doctor, but a Christian doctor. It's much better if you're not just a lawyer, but a Christian lawyer. It's much better if you're not a politician, but a Christian politician, because it is about serving the true and living God. King Solomon said this. He says, in Ecclesiastes, he said, the sum of it all is this, to fear God and do his commandments. That is the whole duty of man, to fear God and do his commandments. So it's not about like Buddha or Islam or some God that you made up in your garage or at the water cooler with your friends. No, it's about the one true living God. It's about Christ. Number five is about the kingmaker and having the perspective of pointing the king to the true and living king. Number five, the kingmaker is a prayer warrior. He is a prayer warrior. Look at verse 19. It says, "And give to my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." This is a prayer about his son fulfilling the purpose for his life, keeping your commandments, your statutes, and what? Build a temple. Because God said it was meant for Solomon to what? Build a temple. So one of the principles of an effective kingmaker is to make sure you pray for those that you're mentoring, that you're developing, that you're trying to help become a king or a queen. And number six, you can find it in verse 20. It says, "Then David said to all the assembly, now bless the Lord your God, and all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king." Number six, the kingmaker is a worshiper. The kingmaker is a worshiper. When we're talking about worship, it goes well beyond just verbal acknowledgement. But I'm talking about like living your life for Christ. Whenever you see a citizen bow before his king, you notice he was bent at the waist, right? That subject is saying to the king that I am willing to submit in my life, submitting my will to your will, because I'm in your kingdom. When I'm talking about worship, I'm talking about your entire being, your entire will is submitted under God's will. So let's recap really quick. It's important to be to recognize that it's a privilege to be in the kingdom. To be part of the divine will. Number two, always remember that God is your source. Number three, remember it's about the kingdom. Number four, always point your king or your queen to the true living king. Number five, it's important that the kingmaker is a prayer warrior. And number six, the kingmaker is always a worshiper. I told you about my mentor earlier on. Last May, my mentor moved to Dallas. And he helped me transition from Dallas to Newport, Rhode Island, to live out my calling, if you will, to go into ministry. You know, it was a very intense time. You know, he's the pastor in Rhode Island, and we had a lot of conversations in terms of preparing me to make that transition. At any rate, my pastor, my former pastor, died like a couple of weeks ago. And I actually did a sermon out in California, his eulogy out in California. If you turn to you don't have to turn there, but Acts 13:36 says this. It says that after David fulfilled the purpose of his generation, he fell asleep with his fathers. After David fulfilled the purpose of his generation, he fell asleep with his fathers. After my former pastor helped me transition from Dallas, Texas, into my calling up here in Newport, Rhode Island, he fell asleep. For my life, he fulfilled his purpose. But what about you, though? Who are you investing in? Who are you praying for? Who are you pointing to the real King? When last time you invited someone to church? Who are you developing for the kingdom? What we're talking about is part of the Great Commission. Matthew 28 says, go therefore, right? And make what? Disciples. We're talking about the Great Commissions. Who are you discipling? What lives are you impacting for the kingdom of God? You know, and when you look at the Great Commissions, there's no qualifier on the word go. It doesn't say go if, or it doesn't say go till. It just says go. It just says go. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 1. I want to read this really quick to you. My mother, she was the first person to disciple me in the faith. And I have more education than her, and I went further with her, maybe academically or financially, whatever career was. But, like, there's no qualifier on the word go. Just go, and God can use you with what you have. You know, 1 Kings, it says, now David was old, advanced in age, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not keep warm. So his servant said to him, let them seek a young virgin for my lord, the king, and let her attend the king and become his nurse, and let her lie in your bosom, that my lord may keep warm. David was so old that he needed someone, another body to keep him warm. He was old and he was ill. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And David's time to die drew near. He charged Solomon, his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and show yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that the Lord may carry out his promise which he has spoken concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful on their way walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. David, to his very last days, was fulfilling the Great Commission, was in the process of kingmaking on his bed when he's about to go see his maker. To the very last end, he was making kings. And my charge to you, get in the business of making kings and or queens to your very last day. Thank you.